Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and greetings on this beautiful day. I have wonderful sunshine this morning, and I, like Peter, would like to say to you, may grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. Hello, everyone. You know, we are looking at remaining unmovable in the midst of change, and wow, are we seeing change all over this world, in our personal lives, in the lives of those we love, from the celestial skies to the seas. Change is rolling every single day. I know I don't have to inform anyone about it, because we are all the recipients and sometimes the victims of change. Day after day, life presents its new and often overwhelming challenges. My question, folks, is where is your spiritual compass pointing when you're hit with a fast or even a curveball? For the next few minutes, we're going to muse over a few passages and some other thoughts to help, hopefully to help direct and strengthen all of our journeys for this particular day, this particular evening, and maybe even our week. One thing that I was thinking about as late as, or as recent as this morning, earlier this morning, is a portion of the Bible from Lamentations, and it says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." Doesn't matter about all this change. His love never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You know, that's so comforting to me, because in spite of what I've gone through in my past, in spite of what I'm going through today and what I will go through in my future, no matter what it looks like, I can know without a shadow of a doubt, and I have to say that I have known that this passage, like all passages, are true. It doesn't matter what I understand. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It may look like God doesn't love me, but I know better. I know He does. I've experienced it. I've experienced His love, not it, His love, His affection, His care, His comfort. And I've had rocky roads. Oh, yes, I have. But His steadfast love never stopped. And I saw His mercies. And I'm still seeing His mercies towards me, towards my loved ones. And just to think, the Bible tells us that they are new every morning. We start all over again with each day. We can start all over again. And His love is, and His mercies are so fluid that they run into the next day and the next and the next and the next year. His faithfulness is indeed great, folks. I was also thinking about one of my, you know, I share my favored authors from time to time, quite often, actually. And Corrie ten Boom is one of those. And I think of Corrie, and I think of something that she said that I just love. There's several, but the main one, I believe, if I had to pick one, Corrie says, "There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. And we think about that in relationship to Lamentations, we see we can put the two together. They can be forged together or side by side. And we see that, yes, indeed, even in a pit, and Corey was in a pit for sure. For those of you who do not know, she was in an encampment, held in captivity, imprisoned, because her family cared for the Jews during the war and cared for little babies and pregnant moms. Anyone who came to the door, they attempted to help, and they were punished for that. But when we think about Corey's quote, that there is no pit so deep that the love of God is not deeper than even the pit, that even in a pit, even imprisoned and brutalized, she was able to grab hold of the steadfast love of the Lord and knew that it would greet her each new morning. Excuse me. Now, that's not to say she didn't struggle. Of course she did. That's not to say that she wasn't discouraged. She was. She had a sister, Betsy. And Betsy was her encourager. And Betsy went through even more turmoil because she was a frail woman. She wasn't young. She was frail. I was saying young, but she wasn't young. She had a beautiful attitude, an attitude that helped Corey to get through that season that God allowed in both of their lives, even in her sister's death in the camp. Learning of her parents, of their parents, and brothers' death in the camps. And they still held on to the love of the Lord, knowing that it did not cease, knowing that he was right there with them, even in the midst of a horrible situation. Folks, we can do the same thing. In fact, we should do the same thing. And then I'd like to just mention very quickly, without any commentary, three more quotes of Ten Boom, because they all feed into and help to illuminate what we're talking about today. The first one: worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today, folks, of its strength. The second: never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. And the third: when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. Oh, praise God. And then another author of favorite is Amy Carmichael. And what she says about this reading is that the focus of it, the thought for it, is that God will not waste your pain. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. I will lead the blind by a road they do not know, by paths they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things that I will do, and I will not forsake them. So Amy asks, but to what end is pain? I do not clearly know, but I have noticed that when one who has not suffered draws near to one in pain, there is rarely much power to help. There is not the understanding that leaves the suffering thing comforted, though perhaps not a word was spoken. I have wondered if it can be the same in the sphere of prayer. Does pain accepted and endured give some quality that would otherwise be lacking in prayer? Does it create sympathy, which can lay itself alongside the need, feeling it as though it were personal, so that it is possible to do just what the writer of Hebrews meant when he said, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Most unforgettably, we are also in the body. Often I wonder how any doctor, knowing what doctors do know, can have the heart to shut the door of the cage when the bird is ready to fly out. But that is foolishness, I suppose. After all, most birds want to stay in. However, the fact remains that the patients in the hospitals for incurables in every land, and all other hospitals and places where the suffering be, are very conscious of the body. Apparently, here is an opportunity. Folks, I am about to say farewell for this time, and we will connect again very soon. Take care.